Welcome to the She Births Show, a place to inspire your birth, evolve your parenting, and help you live a life you love. I'm Nadine Richardson, your host and creator of the scientifically verified birth education program, She Births. I'm also a mother, yoga teacher, doula, author, and speaker. At She Births, we have supported thousands of families around the world for over 13 years with our unique program, and our vision is to make birth better for every family around the world so that everyone experiences a beautiful birth no matter what unfolds. Not only do we help people have beautiful births, but we also give them the skills and the philosophy to enjoy pregnancy and make parenting easier. As well as our world-class birth ed, taken either face-to-face or online, in our app, we also have a free pregnancy guide designed to help you feel calm, connected, and inspired as you and your baby grow. We have a doula matching service, the perfect way to ensure you and your partner are completely supported throughout the whole journey. And we have our Soul Mama circles, which are the perfect postpartum network to help optimize your mindset and design your life in parenthood. Remember, if you like what you hear today, subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a review. If you're a parent, about to be one, fellow health professional, join us now for an inspirational deep dive into topics with experts around the globe. We hope you enjoy this special episode. I have been waiting a really long time to record this podcast to say that I am excited about the intuition process for children is putting it mildly. I believe this program and what it is teaching, alongside the power and integrity of the organization behind it, has the ability to change the world. And as my guests say, contribute to world peace. The documentary plus the Australian research is also going to be amazingly powerful too. So let me begin by asking you a few questions. Do you believe in intuition? How often do you access intuition? Are your children more intuitive than you? And do you think it's important for our children to harness their intuition? Today I have with me Mala Sundareshan, International Program Director of the Intuition Process. Mala works for the global Art of Living nonprofit organization, founded by Sri Sri Ravi Shankar, and she's currently leading the teacher training and rollout of the Intuition Process around the globe. I also have dear friend and documentary filmmaker, Michael Collins. Michael is a four-time Emmy-nominated director and producer and founder of Thoughtful Robot Productions. His films are highly impactful. He has been screened globally over the last two decades, won even more awards than I could count, and they've even changed laws because of his films. Mala and Michael share their experiences and insights of following and teaching children aged between 5 and 18 years old. Techniques that harness literally what looks like magic or superpowers. But it's actually a lot more. You'll find out in the interview. The Art of Living says the intuition process wakes up our latent intuitive potentials through specific techniques of brain activation and meditation. It allows children to access, cultivate, and maintain their inherent intuitive capacity. Intuition is the faculty of knowing or understanding something without the need for conscious reasoning or proof. As a culture, we've learnt to follow our rational thinking as we go through our daily lives, and we pay little attention to our inner voices, our gut feelings, that instinctual form
which goes beyond layers of reasoning. According to the Art of Living, we are all born with a naturally intuitive ability to perceive beyond our senses. As we grow, our culture and education obstruct us from developing our capacity to access our inner potential, especially when we need it most. Today, we're going to talk about if intuition is an essential aspect of human experience, if intuition can be developed and honed over time, how intuition differs from coincidence, how intuition might change the education system, fingers crossed for that one, what children are gaining from learning the process of intuition, and this is kind of mind-blowing. I'm going to put a link below for the trailer, the mini trailer, the pre-trailer of the shoot as it's happening so far, just to show you some of the things the kids can do. But hearing the anecdotes throughout of how this intuition process is expressed through the uniqueness of each child is pretty mind-blowing. And of course, we talk about the research, which has been done by world-leading neuroscientist based at UNSW in Sydney, Australia, who's looking at the mechanisms of intuition. I reckon this is going to create a revolution not only in artificial intelligence, but absolute intelligence, as they say in the show. I really hope you enjoy. Remember, you heard it here first on the She Births Show. Hello, Marla and Michael. Welcome to the She Births Show. Thank you so much for making time all the way across in America to speak to us down here in Australia.
Pleasure.
Thank you, Nadine. So it's nice to be with you.
Just letting you know that the future is good down here. Maybe we should start with talking about this amazing program, the Intuition Program, because I'm really excited about it, and I know everyone that's engaging with the program, the parents and the children, and Michael, the filmmaker, is also really excited about, and the teachers are really excited about. Can you just explain where it all comes from?
It's a fantastic program, primarily which has been designed, developed, and given to the world by Gurudev Shri Shri Ravi Shankar from the Art of Living Foundation. And Gurudev has been, his whole journey is transforming the individual to bring about world peace and making sure that everybody has a smile on their face and everyone is happy. And he teaches us that to go within to find this happiness through breath work, through meditation, through a breathing technique which he has given called the Sudarshan Kriya, which really eliminates stress, thereby making all of us much lighter and much happier individuals across the world. And at a global level, he has also taken up a lot of, projects, bringing a lot of relief and stress-free life for people in the prisons, be it famine, be it tsunami, be it earthquakes, be it war, or even bringing peace between conflicting nations. So he has been a humanitarian and who wants to really look at, everyone being happy. That's what Gurudev does. And he has given this technique of, connecting with one's own intuition, because intuition is there with all of us. And for whatever reason today, we have all moved away from our inner voice and only live in the realm of logic more and more. So these techniques make children be able to connect to that dimension in us And thereby, Gurudev says, bringing in revolution in education. You know, wow. Revolution in the way we think, in the way we look at things, and, you know, bring very realistic, creative solutions, which are, you know, very good for all the ecosystem of the world.
Fascinating. I was so excited when I heard about some of the experiences, and I watched some of the footage that you've taken, Michael, you know, just as you're making this documentary right now. Can you just tell us a little bit about what you're doing as a filmmaker?
Sure. About 2 years ago, my filmmaking partner and I, Benjamin Henretic, decided that we were going to kind of investigate, dig deeper, you know, we around this phenomenon of these children who are demonstrating intuitive powers. We're part of this meditation community that Mala mentioned called The Art of Living. We've been doing practices, you know, for ourselves in our own lives for many years. And part of that is we go on retreats, and it might be a silent retreat or things like that. And in the evenings, everyone comes together from all of the different courses. And in some of the evening sessions, these kids would come out and they would give demonstrations that where they would be wearing a blindfold and be doing some activities that required vision, essentially. So at first, it seems like you're watching a magic show. And then you realize, wow, this is really happening. And then you think beyond just the awe and wonder of, you know, that aspect of it. And you think, what's going on beyond the blindfold, you know? And I think that is where, as we started discussing it, we thought this is an investigation worth doing. What's going on here feels like something that we're all interested in. It's the work that we were doing ourselves, you know, and just the idea that these children were getting access to this inner dimension of themselves, this inner voice that they were learning to trust and know and strengthen. Just felt like it's the best way to spend our time right now is really just bringing these stories to life. And, you know, as a documentary filmmaker who focuses on character-centered kind of human stories, that's the approach that we've taken. We're following a series, you know, a group of teachers, students, and scientists from around the world who are looking at this phenomenon and how it's affecting them in their lives. And that's brought us to India, Australia, and the U.S. So I'm here in New York City right now, following Mala with the camera as she's come here to bring more and more courses and actually teach more teachers. So this you know, course that started in India back in 2015 is now growing and spreading all over the world. And we're capturing some of her exciting journey and in the meantime, meeting some students along the way.
Wow. It's just like when you said tuition and logic, Mala, what do you mean? Do you think there is you have to choose one or the other, or the two can coexist?
Well, it requires all of us to look into this aspect of how do we learn, you know, how do we really learn? I think the first level of learning or the first level of knowledge that we receive is through the sense organs. We either see, touch, taste, hear, and, you know, then there is a tangible proof for it. And it is an experience that has some proof. This is the first level of, knowledge. When we go a little higher than that, there is an intellectual understanding. This is the second level of knowledge. You know, like, for example, if there is a beaker of water and you put a pen into it, it looks bent. But we know that the pen is not bent. Or if we were to look at the sun and the moon, they rise and they set. But intellectually, we know it's the earth going around the sun and not the sun going around the earth, right? So there is an analysis, there is an inference there is an experience behind it. There is something tangible and there is something intangible in this. This is higher than the knowledge from the senses. Higher than that is the knowledge from the consciousness itself, the very being that we are. And there is a voice that tells us, an inner voice, a thought that comes to us. And this comes from silence. This comes at a happy state of mind. And this is the absolute truth. Now, can we do away with any one of these things? I don't think so. I don't think there is a requirement also to say that logic is not required or only intuition is required. No. I think logically we need to look at everything, experience everything in this that the sense organs can give us. Through that come to our inferences. But when the inner voice is telling something, we should have the understanding to, you know, first identify it, trust it, and act on it. All are essential in life. It is just going beyond a little, I mean, understanding that it is only not, everything is not logical. There is something beyond logic too. That is what I would think would be wise. Or a wise person would know that everything is essential, but listen to your intuition.
I love that. A lot of people think that, well, I've heard some scientists and some philosophers, my son included, that intuition is a mere coincidence, because we sometimes have these feelings like something is going to happen or this might be the right thing to do, and then we get that confirmation bias after that. But that doesn't include within it an experience. We might have had 10 other thoughts about something that's going to happen, or maybe this is the right thing to do, and they didn't successfully get fulfilled as an intuition kind of confirmation. Do you know, what do you think about that? I mean, or is this what the research is also? Maybe we should bring in what the researchers now at UNSW are going to be doing, because I think that's what a lot of scientists think.
Actually, I feel that, you know, coincidence can be once, twice, it can be maybe 10 times. But if we look at life at different points in life, we have been guided by these inner voice. So how do we actually say it is coincidence? You know? And if we really were to be happy and joyful and stress-free, one can experience these thoughts. One can see that these thoughts come true more often than not. If we are free of desires and cravings. Primarily, there is so much of noise in our head that perhaps it becomes very difficult for us to understand an intuitive thought. Now, I would say it's a coincidence if, you know, something happened randomly. But if you meet a friend and both of you say something at the same time, how would we call it coincidence? We know that we are all interconnected. Today, science has proved that everything is connected in life. So I think we should also give credit to the fact that the potential of the human mind is so much that, you know, it's not just coincidence. And I think what the research today that Joel is undertaking is also about the how and how it presents itself. So it would be very interesting to see how some children are able to use different parts of their brain and not the visual cortex, but still understand things, still are able to perceive things. In fact, there has been some mention about this in our texts, the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita, where they, you know, refer to the quality of consciousness to have the ability to do all the functions of the sense organs without actually having the apparatus for it. So, you know, it's very interesting to even think that one can perceive things even without the real apparatus. But if we look at it really, there is a small experience of it for all of us in dream state. When we dream, we don't really use our eyes or ears or legs and hands. We do everything, but none of these physical organs are in play. They're all resting. So I think there is much, much more for us to, you know, I think it will unravel as we go further and further. Today, there is a lot of think about, you know, AI. I think we need to really look at the absolute intelligence, as Gurudev says, and look inside where this absolute intelligence dwells.
Could not agree more. Could not agree more.
And now for a quick break. At SheBirth, we believe that pregnancy, birth, and matrescence, the sacred postpartum, is an awesome rite of passage. Our free holistic pregnancy guide offers you 6 months of weekly support. Drop straight into your inbox or within our free SheBirths app, you can get content that will nourish your body, mind, and soul. You can enjoy prenatal yoga videos, great recipes, birth affirmations, course discounts, and more. From me and my team, the creator of the world's only scientifically verified antenatal classes, it is our gift to you. Sign up today and receive the free holistic pregnancy guide at shebirths.com/PG. That's shebirths.com/PG.
I think it would be great if either of you could explain what the exercises are that the children are doing, because like you said, Michael, it looks a little bit like a magic show at first, but then when you hear about the applications beyond what the exercises, so what is the whole intuition program? It's like a 7-minute sequence and then the kids are like reading things with blindfolds on. Is that a good summary? You tell me.
Mala, that's for you. I'm just the filmmaker witnessing it.
Okay. So what happens is there are in a program, currently it is over 2 days and about 3.5 hours for the slightly older kids and about 5 hours for the younger kids. They do some techniques which are, some exercises which balance the left and right brain. There is some breath work which connects us to certain parts of the brain. And then there is a deep restful technique, and there is a very short meditation. And then, there's some games and activities that we do. So there is one part of it which they practice, which we call as the techniques to get these abilities. And what they practice is some activities like maybe they will identify colors blindfold, they read blindfold, they are able to locate lost objects, or they are able to mind read and say what someone else is thinking, or they may even get an understanding of herbs or maybe some plants and what their qualities are or what they're useful for. There are children who are, also getting interest in a lot of different you know, activities like maybe music in some instruments or play a sport suddenly, or they are developing an interest in some of the subjects which they was not so interested in before. There's a lot of academic enhancement and improvement that is seen in these children. There is also, you know, a huge difference in their confidence levels. We see that children feel so much more, they are confident to face crowds, forget about talking to one or two people. There is a huge belief in their own self, in their own abilities. There is a lot of changes in their violence and aggression levels, which come down because of these practices. Their sleep cycles are getting better, thereby enhancing their own health. And primarily, there is a lot of good that is happening overall in a child's life. They are able to get foresight. They are able to predict. So what's happening is they are guided by an inner voice which tells them what is correct and what is not intuitively. Like, I would say if we were to meet anybody new, whether we know the person or not, there is something that tells us whether we are okay with the person or not. For example, how do we know it's the right person to marry? And I think from many people whom I have met, I've heard that they knew in the first few minutes that this is the person I want to live with. So you see, these things do happen. And when they start listening to their inner voice, I think the paths that we take, the the unlearning curve that we have to do later on in life reduces, and thereby making people very creative, open to ideas, open in the mind to possibilities which exist in this creation. And I think that is what is creativity all about.
Wow. What do you see, Michael? I'm going to keep saying wow. I've said wow a lot. Sorry, guys. Because I'm just like remembering the video that you've made, just that little preliminary trailer where there is a child helping find another lost child and actually can see where the child is. Is that right?
Yeah, I think it works. From what I've seen, it works differently every time. But there, you know, in that particular case, what was extraordinary to me is you can imagine the circumstances around someone missing isn't always very pleasant. And these young people, I mean, of course, there's a whole series of teachers and then parents who they go through before they decide if it's okay to even ask the child, right? So they are protecting them in that sense, that not everyone just can come at them and ask them. But this young woman in particular was 13 years old, and she was giving some responses that were a little bit heavy, you know, seeing that this person's life was at risk if they weren't found very soon and things like that. And then when she was done, when she sort of came back to the moment and to herself, she was very playful again. You know, she was making jokes, and I remember that kind of stuff. So just watching them switch from this, you know, it was like it just washed right over her. You know, she wasn't stuck, back in the present moment. And I think that's what we as adults are always working towards. Like, if we want to connect to our self, sort of capital S self, and that state of consciousness and that, you know, unified field, whatever you call it, where that is the source of, you know, all knowledge. It's like you want to be in the present moment. So we do all these meditative practices. We do all these things. Well, these kids are actually learning techniques from what I've witnessed that help them to get there so much faster. And I think that's for me. It's like seeing that deep wisdom coupled with the innocence that always blows my mind with these kids. But I feel like I have such privilege to be around these kids. You just feel the brightness of their being. And yet, you also just want to play with them, which, you know, I, my, my filmmaking partner, Benjamin, like half the time when we're on set, he has kids climbing all over him. He's like a giant kid himself, but it's just, it's that kind of energy. And I think that's, you know, that's one thing that I've witnessed. And really, that's why we're making this film. I mean, really, I've been making films for 20 years that are pretty heavy, that are pointing at all the things that are wrong in the world. And when we started digging into this story, this investigation, I feel like we're pointing the cameras towards the future, towards a hopeful future, towards our human potential. You know, those things that all of us know inside that this is possible, but now we're seeing it actually play out in the real world. We're seeing this younger generation grow up with this knowing, with a sense of being connected that just fills me with so much hope and gives me such peace of mind, you know, to think that all the challenges, the climate crisis that we're facing, the violence that's going on in the world, here in the U.S., you know, the suicide crisis among children, you know, the mental health crisis, all of this kind of stuff that is, you know, could be connected to social media addiction and all kinds of things. And now we're really worried with AI and the way that's being integrated into these platforms as these kids, their minds are just being formed. And so instead of being worried about all of that, I see something that's rising to counter that. I see this inner voice that's coming up, this ability to discern, to know what's best, not only for themselves, but for the others around them and who are approaching the world, not from a selfish place of I'm looking out for me. It's like they, because they feel so connected to everything and everyone, there's a sense of responsibility that they very naturally and gracefully express. And that, I mean, yeah, it feels like this is the film that I've been in training for the past 20 years to make.
Wow, what a gift. There's the wow thing again. What a gift. And I just like, it's, I mean, the children sound like they have superpowers. I mean, it really is like that. Can you share some more kind of anecdotal stories? I mean, we're hearing they've got more confidence, they're discovering more talents, they're discovering their passions, they're able to discern like who is a good person or a person that might not be good for them to hang out with. Like, what are some of the other anecdotes or applications these children are experiencing in their daily lives?
Kids are able to diagnose people. Some of them do come and ask them, even before they ask them, they're like, this is what you need to do. And to the great surprise of the adults, they find a lot of relief when they listen to what these kids are saying. What I mean to say is it's not like they're giving them medicines, but they're definitely pointing them in the direction of where, which medicine would be very ideal for them and suited for their particular problems. There are children who have, who say that they have started talking to animals. I know it appears very amazing, astonishing, and perhaps bordering on ridiculous. There was this child who had gone to his grandparents' house, and suddenly he felt that somebody is knocking the door, but there was no one. He went and opened. He sees a tortoise in front of the door. And then he told us that please call the SPCA, and this tortoise telling me that there are a group of other tortoises and he has been missed and he has been lost and he wants to go back. And this is in a place where you wouldn't find any kind of tortoises, you know. I mean, it's in a city. And then the parents called the SPCA and they got to know that these tortoises were brought for a conservation project and a baby tortoise is missing. You see, it is very difficult to understand this. There are children who are also helping in finding lost objects, like jewelry, maybe a ring which is lost or a key which is gone away or some papers which they have lost somewhere. They are identifying, some of the kids are downloading very ancient languages where they are writing this. It appears as a symbol or a graphic for them and they are writing it down. And when we go back and do some research, we are realizing that these are scripts which were in place 500, 600 years ago. Or there are children who are reading other languages and telling the meanings without ever learning these languages. So it's quite interesting to hear these stories. There's this one child in India who regularly predicts the business index, you know. She is able to tell you whether it is going to go up or come down and by how much. There are instances where our kids have helped some of the police agencies to find a few missing children, missing adults, so many such stories. There are children who are doing some telekinesis. Today we see a lot of superhero movies and, we see them doing all kinds of things. But here are kids who are moving straws, who are bending the spoon, or they are making the candle flame elongate or come into different shapes. So it's very interesting to see all these things and hear. And as a very direct application, we are also hearing children who have used this, who get these thoughts about diagnosing a patient or knowing the value of something when they see it immediately. And we have kids who are maybe 8 or 10 years old who are solving question papers of 20, 22-year-old people subjects, graduation-level papers given to them, and they are able to, pick the right answers without even having an idea of what they are actually answering. So these are some of the things that they are, sharing with us. Very fascinating to hear.
It's extraordinary. It is. It's extraordinary and it's fascinating. And, I mean, there's two things that come to mind what's the sort of ethical element that comes into play with these superpowers?
There are two or three things that we make sure. One is in the program itself, we do take an oath called the ethics of intuition. We bring about the aspect that it is such a beautiful gift and to use it for the good of the society and also to not misuse and use it for any unethical purposes. The second aspect I would like to share here is that intuition is so subtle that only a happy frame of mind, a calm and a clear frame of mind can connect to very quickly. Now, my experience has been that whenever I have done something which I know is not right, even though I may not agree or accept it in front of others, within me, I know I am not correct. And that puts a kind of a pressure, it doesn't make me be comfortable at all. Maybe I am putting on a face or I am acting as though it doesn't affect me. But inside, in my own self, I know that there is something that is not correct. And that what happens is it's an inbuilt mechanism which doesn't allow intuition to flow freely. And the third aspect I would like to share is today parents
so when we've
and
done
school
something
teachers and educators, many of them would like to see their children be confident, be ethical, be moral. There is so much of awareness. And that's why a parent would bring their kid to give them that edge in a very beautiful way, not at any means, not at any cost. And when they have such guides in their lives, I don't think children would misuse this. Of course, there is also a small, a clause that we do when we register the children saying that they wouldn't use this for anything except the good of the society.
And now for a quick break. Contrary to popular culture, She Births believes that childbirth can be the best day of your life. It is designed perfectly to be empowering, enriching, and bonding. An awesome rite of passage. Our childbirth education programs have helped thousands of families around the world since 2008, allowing families to not only feel empowered through education, but also connect with their innate birthing wisdom to create the best birth possible and begin their parenting journey with confidence. She Births unique methodology was scrutinized in university trials and has been published in the British Medical Journal for improving birth outcomes for both mother and child. I'd like to invite you to begin preparing for birth today. Just go to shebirths.com to discover our two-day weekend face-to-face courses or access the online courses from anywhere around the world. That's shebirths.com. Create your beautiful birth with the world's only scientifically verified antenatal classes.
Michael, what have you noticed in yourself just being in that atmosphere? Have you been able to heighten your intuition? I know that you're not allowed to see the sequence. Even the teachers don't see the full kind of process of that's taught to the kids so that they can access intuition. But when I've talked to you or Yolanda or Shreya, it's just that conversation that reminds me inside myself that I do have intuition. And it's so beautiful to be reminded of, like, calm and happy allows me to access intuition. And Shreya said something like, we all have it. It's that first voice, but then all the other radio channels are kind of playing. And so we can't often hear the first because the other ones come in too fast or the other ones are too loud over it. Like, how do you experience it? I mean, I'm sure it must have changed your life already.
It has, absolutely. I think it's given me permission to acknowledge it more. And in doing so, like, I realize I'm accessing it a lot more because, like you said, we all have it. Right. And especially if you have practices, meditative practices, do breath work, do anything that gets you back to your center, that does calm you down. Like you said, you can hear it more clearly. So I've had just because I've experienced it so much, I can see that this is all really happening. It's definitely enhanced it in my life so much. And the truth is, I would say that I think that we're all using it. Quite often, we're just not naming it. I think we've gotten the habit of thinking that most of the decisions that we make are just from our intellect, where I would imagine many, if not most, are actually coming from that intuitive place. It's just our head is so noisy because our thoughts are being voiced over and over and over again. And yes, you know, I mean, there are moments where now when I meet someone and I just have that feeling, I'm like, oh, you know, whatever, maybe it's a business opportunity. And I'm like, well, on paper, this person seems really good, but there's something that makes me feel like they might not be. If I go through the process of then pursuing it, I realize that it's going to fall apart. Whereas it just saves a lot of time when you trust yourself, when you trust that voice. I had something happen about 2 weeks ago. It was very minor, but like these kinds of things are happening much more. And I'm teaching myself to listen. I was driving away. I was in LA when Mala was there. I was on a shoot. I have all my equipment in the back. And then I stopped and I was like, wait a second. Is my media, sort of the cards that I put in my camera? I was like, I feel like they're missing. And I was like, no, they're always in my bag in that pocket. I didn't take them out. They're there. And then I remembered, listen to your intuition. So I pulled over, opened up the trunk of the car, pulled it out. Sure enough, they weren't there. For whatever reason, I had forgotten I had taken them out. So, I mean, is that coincidence? Is that something else? But it was like a tap on my shoulder that I stopped, and my logic didn't even make sense of it. It was like, if I thought about it logically, they were still in the car. And it's that same thing when I'm walking out the door. Why bring an umbrella? It's raining, but it just comes to me. Or why do I need my passport today? I'm just going here. And then while I'm out, my father is like, I need you to go sign this thing or whatever. And I had to have it with me, you know? So it's showing up in little ways. It's showing up in big ways. So that's how it's affecting me personally. I would say more broadly, it's just shifting my perspective as I look forward to the future. I'm able not to just look through a lens that's, I have less fear, you know, it does actually bring some hope as I look forward. I don't get stuck on the negative as much, even though when if we look at media, if we look at all the stuff, I mean, the sky is literally falling in so many ways. But yet I see a path forward. I see hope. I see a lot of possibility and potential. And I think that that just makes me be more effective in whatever I do, more creative, more of service, more able to, you know, be present for those around me. So,
yeah. And what you're, it's beautiful. And what you're doing with the documentary in Mali, you're coming to teach a whole, like 20 plus teachers down here in Australia. Like, it seems like it's growing exponentially. What is the plan for it? I mean, Art of Living is an absolutely huge nonprofit organization. I mean, there must be millions and millions and millions of followers worldwide. And I know that this is the most expensive program within Art of Living, and that's for a reason, I think, to titrate kind of the slow kind of introduction and the learning that you're all getting potentially. But has Gurudev said what he wants to do or what the vision is? Is this, where is it going to end up? What's his intuition telling him?
Well,
I mean,
he's one person who lives in the moment. So I think it's always intuition there. I think his vision is to associate intuition with, you know, learning, in that we bring intuition to such a way that children can connect, can know things. Primarily, he wants children to know that there is an intuitive side in all of us, and we can tap into this huge resource that we have and be led by that, so that it opens up the possibilities and everybody, many, many things can be much, much more clearer that way, you know. And I think his vision is that every child lives a happy life by listening to this inner voice.
I've also, he said in the past that intuition will revolutionize education. And that feels true, that, you know, I think we're seeing here, one of the stories that we're tracking is, you know, little by little, this is, you know, going to find its way into schools. And in Pasadena, California, there's a school there that's interested in bringing it in the fall. So we're following that story. And as Mala said, you know, that's the idea, to shift how kids are learning. But I think the system itself is going to have to shift around this kind of learning. You know, this kind of rote, you know, memorization and response and things like that, all of that is becoming pretty obsolete quite quickly. And
absolutely. And, you know,
the young girls that I met in India who've been doing this for a number of years, talking to their parents, they just said, you know, they barely have to study. And so they have so much space. And in India in particular, there's a lot of emphasis put on studying. If you're in school studying, then you're out of school studying. That's what you're doing because you're getting tests and all kinds of stuff. These kids barely study. And so they're pursuing all of these creative endeavors that are just coming up inside of them. You know, want to do horseback riding and this and that, and they're excelling at it. In about a week and a half since one of the courses took place here, already a couple of the kids that we're following have started to express creatively much more, to the parents' surprise. We're just staying in touch with them. And it's really wild. You know, that's what I'm noticing just anecdotally on the side, is that creativity is flowing and there's more space for it.
You know,
that's fantastic.
You know, one other thing that he has also mentioned is that, you know, if you look at humanity, we have done a lot of advancements in technology in terms of material world. It's now time to, you know, look at the technology of consciousness, looking inside and into the vastness of who we are and the very beings that we are. So I think that's where he's taking all of us, the technology of consciousness.
Yes. I love that. I love your or yours or Gurudev's kind of play with that AI term, that instead of artificial intelligence, it's going to be a revolution in absolute intelligence. And one of my teachers reminds us that, who's also from the Maharishi lineage, that knowledge is embedded within consciousness. So really de-excitation of the nervous system allows us to access, you know, supreme knowledge and all knowledge. So, I mean, I'm just so excited. I just want every child in the world to do it yesterday. And I'm really wishing, I know the age limit is 18 at the moment, is that right? Or 17 for kiddies to do it?
The day they turn 8, I mean, till they turn 18, they can do it. In India, we say up to 18, but I think in the Western parts of the world, they say 17. So it's just an understanding. Till they turn 18, they can do the program.
Yeah, I wish. Well, my son's 22, and I'm a huge believer in maternal intuition. Something really amplifies when we have our babies. Through holding the consciousness of another being in our field. And for me, when my son was born, it was an awakening to intuition, of knowing, of gnosis. And I wish I'd had a culture around me that reminded me that this was real and that this was something that could be adopted more and nurtured more. And if, you know, if this podcast gives anything to people out there, parents out there who may or may not look into the program, who will hopefully see the documentary, may it just remind people that it is there so that we can all live a more happy and more peaceful, more graceful life, a more joyous, more creative life, and more confidence in ourselves, less fear. I just think you brought it home so beautifully. But there's one other thing I wanted to ask about was the research, because people will want to know about that. It's a huge trial. I did see the interview, well, with the researcher at UNSW on SBS TV, and he seems like a lovely person. What's happening there?
Do you want me to say... Mala, do you want to take this?
I think, Michael, why don't you start if there's anything I'll add of the other research also that we've done.
Sure, yeah. One of the top researchers on intuition in the world is a neuroscientist and psychologist named Joel Pearson, who's at the University of New South Wales. And he happened to see some of these demonstrations that were happening, and I think really has expressed the potential, you know, just of what it could unlock if we start to understand more of the mechanism of what's going on in the mind. How is this happening? And so he's embarking, you know, he's assembled a team and embarking on a major research project that's been funded for like the next year. And it's just about to begin, literally this month. So it's a very exciting moment, and I think he's uniquely qualified to conduct this, and we're following it, you know, from beginning to end. I think we're very excited because it's outside. You know, we see what it's like in the classroom, in the home, and all of this, but there is that logical side of all of us that is the skeptic, right, that gets stuck when we see the blindfold. And there's just that logical person in society, you know, the second, it's just really nice. This, I feel like having this research done and published is going to lead to more and more and more research that I think is going to be transformative in society. You know, it's going to just alter the way that we understand sort of a shift from a paradigm shift from this materialist worldview to one that's more consciousness-based. And when we do that, I think the ripple effects go out far beyond what we can even imagine right now. I think the same way that technology is advancing exponentially with AI, with generative AI, I think that we're also on the cusp of advances in, as Mala was saying, technologies of consciousness. And this feels like the start of that.
Now, just to give you a perspective, we've had, I think, 8 or 10 research projects on this topic, and we have had researchers looking at before and after the conduct of this program for a set of blind students, for students who are deaf and mute, you know, for we have had programs in a small research conducted for children with severe ADHD. So we have had a study on the mental aspects, rather the life skills of children. What is the self-confidence levels or empathy levels of children once they do this program? And most of the places we have seen a lot of improvement that has come in kids. In fact, there are two papers which are already published in recognized journals, and Dr. Joel's is a very exciting thing for us to see the outcomes of what his study would suggest.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, we'll put all these links into the show notes as well, and share as much as we can so that people can follow along and know where you are and understand what's happening with research and the film and the program. Is there anything else you want to share with the families out there that are listening, either of you, Michael?
I would just say, you mentioned earlier that you wished it was for older people as well. And I think it's important to realize that every program that we do that is, breath work, meditation, anything that's giving us access to ourselves, that's giving us the ability, you know, Nadine, as you mentioned, the practices that you do are from the same lineage. I mean, they're all enhancing our intuition. They really are. This is a very specific program that just sort of blows the lid off it. And it's much easier for the young people. So we'll be envious of them, but it's not too late for any of us. All of, you know, the breath work that we do, the meditation that we do, going into silence, going on retreats, that's what we're doing, you know, doing a mantra-based meditation when we go into that state of samadhi, that's where we're going, you know? So I think, I would encourage everyone to also explore it in themselves more, trust it in themselves more, and listen to it and know that, yes, while it's really exciting that a university is going to validate all this for the modern mind, this is science and technology that's been around for thousands of years, you know, and has been validated for thousands of years and is demonstrated in every aspect. So it's really exciting that we're finally waking back up to it, I think.
Perfect. Thank you for the reminder. I did my Sudarshan Kriya this morning and my Vedic meditation because I'm a very good girl some days. Mala, what would you like to share?
I would like to share that when I was young, I wish I had this, knowledge in me that, you know, we live in the intuitive world. It took me a large amount of time to come to terms with the fact that I would know a few things beforehand, because nobody would believe me if I were even to state it. And I think, as we progress in life, And as civilizations progress, one of the indicators would be the happiness quotient, and also the quotient of how much we can do for others in the society. With this in mind, if we are able to give the gift of, you know, having a mind open to possibilities to children, just to know that anything is possible, I think gives a huge fillip to the kids to try new things, to do things differently, and also come up with successes in most of the things which are helpful to this creation. Please give this gift of intuition to kids.
Jay Gurudev, not sure if you heard me, but thank you both so much for being here and for sharing and for doing the work that you're doing. I can't wait to keep following along and see what happens, because we live in the field of infinite possibilities. And yeah. Absolutely.
Thank you, Nadine.
Thanks for all you're
doing.
Thank
you. I think it's nice.
Jay Gurudev.
I'm Nadine Richardson, and you've been listening to the She Births Show. If you've enjoyed this episode, please subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a review. We'd love to know what you would like to hear more of. You can find me and my team of amazing doulas and educators at shebirths.com and our awesome community on Instagram and Facebook. Within any good app store, you can download our free pregnancy guide via She Births, two separate words and plural, as well as access our range of online courses. Remember, when it comes to having a better birth, an easier transition into parenthood, your education is your empowerment. Don't forget to check out the catalogue of previous podcasts. And thank you for tuning in today. I hope you enjoyed the show.